Hi, I'm Sam Foldwood with the Center for American Progress and Progress 2050, a project that develops new ideas for an increasingly diverse America. And I'm joined today with Melissa Botek of the Half in 10 campaign. Thank you for being with us, Melissa.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
We're going to talk today a little bit about job creation and what Congress can do to spur a shared recovery. But before we get into the sort of maybe the weeds of some of that, I wanted to sort of lay the groundwork to understand a little bit about what's going on. Can you describe what is the problem created by long-term unemployment?
Sure. Well, in addition to the havoc that long-term unemployment wreaks on individual families, long-term joblessness really tears at the fabric of entire neighborhoods and communities. For example, children who experience hunger during a recession are less likely to be productive adults. The lost tax revenues from high unemployment causes states and localities to cut back on critical services, which deteriorates the quality of life in local communities. In addition, you know, teachers are being laid off at a massive rate. And so basically that's going to impact an entire generation of students. And finally, youth who are not able to find work now, who are just, you know, entering their careers, the gaps on their resume over the long term, they will have wage gaps with people who enter the labor force in better times. In addition, you know, there's consequences for the broader economy because in deep recessions, businesses tend to make fewer investments, and that affects our country's competitiveness. Basically, there are a lot of really detrimental effects that are allowing long-term unemployment to fester. And right now, nearly 46% of unemployed workers have been jobless for at least 6 months.
Can anything be done about this?
Absolutely. Congress can act to spur job creation and to spur job creation in the communities that have been hardest hit in this recession. And there are a couple of steps that they can take. The first is that what makes moral sense makes economic sense. By helping out people who are jobless right now by extending unemployment benefits and COBRA health benefits, Congress is actually saving jobs because it's keeping demand in the economy. Those people can go out, buy things in the private sector, which saves the jobs of other, you know, in other companies. And so by spurring this demand in the economy, it's a really critical part of creating and saving jobs. It's one of our most important countercyclical programs. Secondly, it's really important to provide fiscal relief to states and localities because this is saving the jobs of teachers, firefighters, and police officers. These are critical backbones in our communities. They're providing critical public services. And in addition, they're also consumers. So when you have your teachers laid off, for every 100,000 teachers that are laid off, EPI, the Economic Policy Institute, estimates that another 30,000 jobs are lost in other sectors because of the spending cuts, because of the lack of consumerism from the people who have lost their jobs.
Sort of the ripple effect you're talking
about. It's a ripple effect throughout the entire economy. Secondly, in providing aid to states and localities, you're saving critical services like Medicaid and other health services. And so that's one thing that we're pushing really hard is for Congress to provide fiscal relief to states and localities. There are other really important steps Congress can take as well. One important one is to extend what's known as the TANF Emergency Fund, or the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Basically, Congress in the Recovery Act created a pot of money that states have been using to create subsidized employment. And this is for people who are, you know, who are on TANF, people who aren't on TANF as well, low-income people, people who have who are getting unemployment insurance. They've been able to partner with the private sector to create jobs. And by the time the fund's projected to expire in September of 2011, it's estimated they'll have created 180,000 new jobs through this program. And it's really bipartisan. You know, of the states that have drawn it down, about equal Republican governors and Democratic governors have recognized that this program really works and is one of the cheapest ways, actually, to create jobs. And finally, I would add that targeting some of the jobs towards youth through things like summer jobs this summer, keeping that funding as well as national service opportunities are critical to create jobs for those being hit hardest by the recession.
Critics would argue that it's not appropriate for the federal government to get into the job creation business, so to speak, leaving that to the private sector. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that? Is it appropriate for the government to spend money to create jobs?
Right. Some people say that we can't afford to large-scale job creation efforts, but Half in 10's perspective is that we can't afford not to have large-scale job creation efforts. Number one, because when people lose their jobs, they're not being able to pay taxes into the system, and so long-term and prolonged unemployment is actually adding to the deficit by us losing revenue through taxes. And so it's not to say that job creation pays for itself, but that if we invest now in trying to have a strong economic recovery, the real problem is long-term structural deficits down the road. And so that's what we really need to be worried about. The other thing is that the poverty and economic insecurity caused by unemployment has cost as well. CAP did a study back in 2007 showing that child poverty alone costs $500 billion a year in lost productivity, in associated health care costs, and criminal justice expenditures. And so there's a cost to not acting and to allowing this problem to grow. And so it's very appropriate in the short term for the government to be investing money to create jobs and to not to say the deficit doesn't matter, but that it's a longer-term problem that we should be dealing with.
Given all of that, then, what is the relationship between job creation and ending poverty?
We are not going to be able to cut poverty in half without the creation of decent wage jobs. And so one of the reasons Half in 10 has been so focused on job creation efforts, and especially those targeted towards the low and moderate income communities that have been hit hardest in this recession, is because a decent wage job is the best pathway out of poverty. And so that's why we're so focused on this issue.
Well, I want to thank you for having this conversation with me. We've been talking with Melissa Botek of the Half in 10 campaign. Thank you for coming in and talk about that.
Thanks, Sam.